Welcome, everyone, into the B-Section Podcast. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined, as always, by David Goff and Logan Hill. And before we get into all things local sports in the area and some national stuff, quick word from our sponsor, the Jolly Farmer.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think convenience, think the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From our supersized selection of microbrewery beers to our bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and that pick-me-up cup of coffee, we have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly, open 7 days a week. And that's the Jolly Farmer, sponsor from last year. They're back again this year. Really, really been a good sponsor for us. You've listened to me talk about the donuts. Kirk's talked about it, but I have a challenge for Mr. David, the third guy sitting at this table right now. David has yet to make his way. I think he gets lost on the way or something like that to the Jolly Farmer over in Waverly, 7 Elizabeth Street. Yeah. In the next, you got 7 days. I want to report back from what's looking. I'm going to try to get there myself, but I'm from Towanda, so.
In my defense, I was there one time, but it was my fault because I got there way late in the day. So all the good donuts were taken sold by all out. The people that were there.
They go quick. First come, first serve.
So you got to go early, yeah. And I just never have done that, and I have to.
Get there early. You want some donuts to enjoy your Sunday morning or maybe your Saturday morning. Maybe all you're watching college options. Football. Maybe it's NFL football. Go get some donuts, but you got to get there early.
Another week in the books, boys. This season's It goes quick. I mean, once football season starts, you blink and you're already like halfway through.
It's week five. It's halfway through the NTL season, regular season.
We'll get into the game a little bit later on, but after the Sarah football game, I was kind of hanging out around the Sarah football huddle, post-game huddle, just waiting to talk to head coach Rookie Lindblad. He was telling the seniors, like, you're almost halfway through. I'm like, huh?
Wow. Yeah. Wow is right. Let's start. In the Daily Review side, Logan, Towanda 36-16 over Wellsboro.
Yes, it was their homecoming game. It was really an interesting game. The score might not show it, but it was. If I have my math right, it was like 14-8 at halftime, and then in the second half, Wellsboro scored and they got their second 2-point conversion. It was 16-14 game. So it's like, oh, what's going on? And then this is the next moment is actually what I led my story with is Towanda was able to answer back. Gage Evans, a freshman, he plays running back. It sounds like he plays a little bit of wide receiver, maybe some defense. He catches a 60-yard touchdown pass, gets past the defense, catches it, turns back around and gets to the end zone and scores a touchdown to put Towanda back in front. Ultimately, what would be for good. The caveat and what I kind of centered my story around, because when you notice these moments, you try to incorporate that. Like a half hour earlier, Gage Evans' older sister, Brooklyn Evans, Towanda volleyball player, Towanda softball player, was named homecoming queen. He was there like with her, escorting her at halftime. So then he catches a 60-yard touchdown to give his team the lead back for good. So that was like what I tried to play on in my story. But other than that, I mean, it was really just, it was an entertaining game. And then Towanda just, they did what they didn't do the week before in punching the ball in the end zone down the stretch to kind of just pull away for good. So they get to 3-1, which I think is kind of where they were expecting to be at this point in the year, maybe even 4-0, but right. We were talking about it. Were we taping or not taping? It's already halfway through. We were definitely taping. That just happened a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
A lot has happened today already, but so they're
going to start for the Black Knights.
And we'll get into it preview wise is they're hitting probably the biggest speed block in the NTL, or speed block's not really a word, speed bump.
Roadblock?
Yeah, roadblock.
There you go. Bump. You combine them. That's fine. Yeah. Let's talk about Troy. Troy dominates Athens 55-0.
That one was Saturday night. I was also there for that one. And that was probably a game with like the most storylines, I would say, kind of coming into it based off the week before. Athens had the big win over Canton 48-42. And that was it was a back and forth shootout the entire way. So it's like, okay, you win the shootout. What's your next test? Oh, you just got to go to probably the league favorites, the NTL champs from a year ago, on their home field on a Saturday night. So that game was Troy from the word go, from the first whistle. They returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, the Trojans did, and I think it was 34-0 after one, 48-0 at halftime, and 55-0 at the end of it. It was really just home domination, sure. I guess I would say. They kind of took control and never let up, and then it was second units a lot in the fourth quarter.
Right. Well, you mentioned Athens shootout with Canton the previous week. Canton in another high-scoring affair.
They had another shootout this week. They came out on the winning side of it.
51-40 over North Penn Mansfield. What can you tell us about that one?
So I wasn't on site for that one. I did get a box score of it. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. But it was just, it looks like Canton led the whole way, but North Penn was just like nipping at their heels the entire time. Oh, they're close, they're close. But they could never quite get where exactly they needed to be. And it was just like, I was trying to add up the math in my head. So they scored 42 the week before, 51 the next week. So that's what, 93 points?
Yeah.
Look at that quick math.
New Orleans Saints of the NTL.
93 points. And but in the same breath, they've given up 88 points in 2 weeks. So I don't think for your coach's blood pressure, for your coach's mindset, you wouldn't necessarily be having those kind of games. But from a fan's perspective, I'm sure they've both been exciting. Canton's able to come out on the winning side of that one. I'm going to pull
up. You want to see exciting football. It sounds like Canton is your ticket this season, for better or worse. Didn't get it done against Athens the previous week, but in this past weekend's high-scoring affair, 51-40 over North Penn Mansfield. Good way to get back on track with a lot of points.
Absolutely. I mean, and I'm pulling it up right now to give you names and scores and how it kind of happened, because I rounded it up on Monday. Elsewhere in the NTL, Wylusing.
Surprise game.
Falls for the first time.
Now what do we think about Montgomery? Montgomery beats Wylusing 28-3. We were sitting here, a couple weeks ago thinking, man, maybe that one team on Sayre's schedule this season where they could get a potential win is Montgomery. Montgomery takes care of that, and then they just go beat an undefeated Wylusing team. So I'm not sure what to make of that game. Do you see, is that a blip or something go wrong for the Rams?
Yeah, just from box score watching, I guess, is what you'll call the games you can't get to, but you get box scores for. It sounds like Montgomery just defensively just kind of held
Wylusing in
check. Wylusing did go to the air a little bit. They completed a pass this week. But they didn't have the big rushing gains that you're used to seeing. And I was thinking about it. I was like, how have I not ended up at Wylusing at this point yet in the year? But it's just the way the schedule kind of worked out. I'll be there. And again, this is jumping ahead of the preview, but Thursday night they're going to play. So I'll be there for that game. I'll get a better look at what's going on the field.
Very curious to see how they rebound.
But Aiden Hunsinger had 45 yards on 13 carries, and he was their leading rusher. That's not what we've been used to this season for Wylusing. So it was on the road at Montgomery. Montgomery's not a just down the road trip. It's got some length to the drive, I'm sure. But it sounds like they've rebounded from an 0-2 start. The Red Raiders have, and getting a home game is gonna
help. Interesting team now going forward on the schedule.
I don't know. I mean, I think it was if you're Wylusing, you'd love to have kept the unbeaten train rolling. Yeah. But now this is some adversity, and it's we have a loss on the board.
How do you rebound?
We have a South team that was in the district playoffs last year.
Yep.
How are we going to respond? So just to go back to Canton for 1 second, 51-40, Canton was up 17-0 in the second quarter, and then it was 17-8, and they went to halftime ahead 24-16. Then North Penn made it 24-22. It got close again at 38-34. And then finally, Canton pulled away 51-40. So it was really just, we got to keep going because they're not going to stop. So Ben Fitch had 294 yards passing and 3 touchdowns, and also rushed for 96 yards on the ground. So a good senior year getting underway for the Warriors' lefty quarterback.
Canton will be back on this week. They're hosting Montgomery, who we just talked about. So an interesting matchup
there. I will be at that game, too. So I'll be at they were taping on Wednesday, but Thursday night I'll be at South Williamsport, Wylusing, and then Friday night I'm lined up to go to Montgomery Canton.
All right. Let's transition to the Valley. Kawanesky Valley, they top Sayre 50-21 in what sounds like, David, a tale of two halves.
Very much so, yeah. 50-21 is almost a little deceiving as to how this game played out. And because, like, a week earlier, Sayre lost that Montgomery team 55-21 in a game that Montgomery controlled. This was basically the same final score, but Sayre played what has to have been their best half of the season in last Friday's first half against Kawanesky Valley. They led 14-6 at halftime. The Kawanesky Valley offense wasn't really doing a whole lot, aside from 184-yard touchdown pass that gave them a 6-0 lead in the second quarter. But after that, Sayre was really moving the ball a lot better than Kawanesky Valley in that first half. And at a certain point, they were stuck with the 4th-and-14 at the 18-yard line. And
everything just stalled from there.
Well, no. Because Carter Green, the quarterback of Sayre, he finds Nick Pelicano on the left side of the end zone for a great catch for a touchdown to make it 6-6. And then an extra point you thought it made it 7-6 for Sayre, but there was a penalty, so they moved it back 5 yards, and then kicker Carter Blyer still made the 25-yard extra point to make it 7-6. Eventually, Sayre gets the ball back, and they're basically at a 2-minute drill, and now it's 4th and 14 once more at the 16-yard line with 2 seconds left in the half. They're still up 7-6, but they're trying to get up by even more, and this time Carter Green goes to the right side, and Pelicano catches the ball just inside the goal line. It's 14-6 right at the break. Everything's looking good for Sayre. I mean, the bench was fired up. The crowd was fired up. They were excited. But after halftime, it was all Kalinowski Valley. I added up that Kalinowski Valley had about 336 yards of offense in the second half alone. It was just, wow. They looked like a completely different team.
Adjustments made
and
at half. Huh?
I think Sayre just got fatigued and they weren't able to keep up. It was the Graham Hess and Dave Hess show of Kalinowski Valley. They made up the 90% of the offense that Kalinowski Valley had in that second half. There was a moment. So it was 14-6 Sayre at halftime, 20-14 Kalinowski Valley in the third quarter, and then Nick Pelicano once again had a touchdown catch of 64 yards. This one was pretty lucky where it hit off a Kalinowski Valley defender out around midfield and then bounced 5 yards forward into Pelicano's hands, and he was off to the races. So Sayre grabbed a 21-20 lead, but after that, it was all Kalinowski Valley, and Sayre seemed like they might have missed an opportunity there because they looked really good for a while, and it just kind of came crashing down.
Regardless, great season so far for Pelicano. Sayre will play host again Saturday when Muncie comes to town. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the New York side of things. Waverly hosted Binghamton. We kind of wondered last week on the pod, playing a bigger school, what would it look like? How would Waverly hold up? They held up just fine. 57-0 over Binghamton. What'd you see in that game, David?
It was very much like Troy Athens, like Logan was mentioning, where it was from the get-go, it was all Waverly in this one. Two plays into the game, the Binghamton quarterback had a high snap, go over his head into the end zone. Waverly is close, and Keithley goes and chases him for a sack and a safety. The ensuing kickoff, Keithley, again, returns a touchdown. It's 9-0, like a minute and a half in. And it was just one of those, it turned into a non-competitive football game pretty quickly.
Got away
it was
quick.
51-0 at halftime. The second teams were all in. Actually, you know, New York doesn't have a running clock. They did in this game in the second half.
Is that like an agreed upon thing?
I believe that's what it was. But even like head coach Jason Miller at the end of the game was like, this is one of those games where you just don't learn much about your team.
I was curious about that because I was listening to it on the radio on the way back down the road. I was up here on Thursday in Sayre, and that's what I thought I remembered, that there was no running clock in New York. But no,
coaches must be.
The one interesting thing, and obviously in the second half, is 51-0. It doesn't matter at this point, but the second team was in. The Waverly got the ball to start the second half, and it was just the second team. Dalen Davis, who had a punt return for a touchdown that game as well, he was the quarterback in that second half for Waverly. And they went on it because of the running clock. They were able to go on like a, I want to say it was like an 18-play, 13-minute drive into the fourth quarter.
It lasted
for
the whole quarter. When I turned it on the radio. I was driving back down the road. It must have been just after halftime. And it spanned the whole quarter.
That's dominance. Yeah. That's pure dominance. While that was going on, though, Tioga.
No, that was the day before Tioga. Because
they played Thursday night. Yeah. That's right, Thursday night. Tioga hosts the next night against Windsor. This was expected to be a very good game. Both teams were fantastic last year. Windsor, a little bit bigger. But Tioga gets it done, 31-20.
Yeah, I mean, look, Tioga's getting into the mode of closer games, apparently. And again, it goes with the competition they're facing.
Sure.
Higher classifications, good teams in those higher classifications. But Tioga just really pulled one out. They were ahead pretty much the entire game. I think they were mostly up 2 possessions for not most of the game, but they were able to just stay in front, and the running game was a running game. Shane Blatukas has turned into a
wear him down, run the clock,
back.
Right?
Yeah, and Jake Brown as well. Those two are like big body running backs too, so they can push forward.
Yeah, it's pretty clear what Tioga's going to do this season. A little less air game, but they're really going to try to wear you down with those big backs.
Yeah.
Let's go to this week. We'll stay in the Valley. We'll reverse the order here. Stick with New York. Tioga, they got to go to Shenango Forks. Waverly home against Horseheads. The big key here is 4 teams all unbeaten.
Yeah.
Good week of football in New York.
Looks like it.
David, you're going to be where?
I believe I'll be headed to Shenango Forks for the Tioga game. That, I mean, you can't pass up a team that's three-time state defending state champion versus Shenango Forks, who has a lot of state championships in their history. So I'm really interested to see that.
Good historical matchup there.
I can't say I'm 100% on going to Tioga just yet, because Waverly and Horseheads is also a good game. That's going to be in Waverly.
Sounds like Horseheads is the real deal.
Yeah, so I have technically not decided yet. I've been leaning towards Tioga for a couple weeks now, because Tioga Forks is just such an enticing matchup. But it's going to be a good Friday night in New York.
That's a great Friday night of football if it's such a hard decision because of how competitive the matchups might be. I like both those matchups. I wouldn't know where to go. Yeah. But either way, if you're a fan, you're going to hit. So,
And I'll say if I end up going to Forks, which I think I'm just going to end up at Forks, there might not be a full game story in Saturday's paper. There will be like a roundup, but you can see a whole game story online on Saturday.
Sure. Well, and it could make sense too, considering at some point down the road, I know it's not on the regular season schedule, but Waverly Forks somehow, some way tend to meet every season. So it'll be a good preview there. Muncie's going to be, like we talked about, they're going to be at Sayre. That's on Saturday. And North Penn Mansfield will be at Athens on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Muncie, I think, is 3-1. Tough test looking like for Sayre. North Penn Mansfield at Athens could be interesting, considering how well they did against Canton, North Penn Mansfield, this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and Athens beat Canton, too. Yeah. So I think if you're on paper, I wouldn't say strictly on paper, it seems like a good chance for Athens to bounce back after a tough loss at Troy. But again, North Penn Mansfield can put up the points as well, too. So
Tawanda at Troy.
Before we get there, some bad news for Sayre potentially. Muncie is 3-1.
Yep.
Their last three games are all wins, and it's 49-0, 45-25, and 61-0 against Wellsboro, CV, and Northwest. So they're riding high right now, I guess. So, I mean, but they got to come to Sayre, so you hope that maybe swings the pendulum a little bit. But
if you want to see a really good Sayre player, Nick Pelicano's your guy. He can play.
He's one of the best players in the area for sure.
He had another touchdown, like you said,
He had eight. Well, excuse me. He had eight total this season. He had all three touchdowns this past week. He had the two fourth down touchdown catches, and then
correct me if I'm wrong. He should have all of their touchdowns so far this season, right?
Yes. Yeah. He's 8 of 8 touchdowns for Sayre.
Wow. That's nuts.
Impressive.
That's pretty cool.
And three of them are kick returns. So,
wow.
I'll say this. So there were a lot of kickoff returns for Sayre in that game because they gave him 50 points. Pelicano was kicked to like maybe twice. I think people are
makes sense.
You have to not kick
from a strategy standpoint. That makes sense. Tawanda's got to go to the toughest place to play in the NTL. Maybe they're at Troy.
I believe it's also Troy's homecoming. This week,
Troy rolled over Athens this week. They're going to look to do so again, but a good stern test for the Black Knights. We'll see what happens there. Again, that we talked about this one earlier, a surprise that Montgomery beat Wyalusing. They get Canton on the road this week. I think this game's probably closer than we would have expected coming into this season. This should be an interesting one if you're looking for a sneaker this week.
As far as I can say, it's funny to me. I've been kind of like circling Montgomery for like a couple weeks now because 2 weeks ago, I did the 10 first downs with Sayre, and they were playing Montgomery. Last week, I did it with Wyalusing. They were going to Montgomery. This week, I'm doing it with Canton. They're playing Montgomery. Okay. So I'll finally get a firsthand look at the Montgomery Red Raiders, and I've seen Canton once this season. So I think if Canton had it their way, it would maybe be high scoring in their favor, but not in Montgomery's way, just to catch their breath a little bit. But I think that should be a good game. I think the Tawanda-Troy game, it's hard to not say that you would think Troy has the advantage just because of how they've played this year and last year. But I think it's a good test for a senior-laden Tawanda group and just kind of, all right, to use an analogy I think I might have used when we've talked about the NFL, like the boogeyman, so to speak. Troy is kind of the rest of the league's boogeyman because they went unbeaten in the league last year. They're on the path to maybe doing that again this year. So you got to go to their house and see what you're made of. So,
and anytime you get reps in against a quality opponent like that on the road, that all that does is suit you for the rest of the season. I mean, it builds your program. This game will have already happened. By the time you're listening to this, South Williamsport will have come to Wyalusing. Again, a chance for the Rams to bounce back against a really good opponent. How do you see this one going if you were predicting the future?
using my crystal ball. Yeah. I don't know how to shape it up. I haven't
certainly
seen South
can't
yet
predict
this
you're covering.
South's played a lot of teams that we covered. They started the year with Athens, then they played Canton, and then they've also played Troy already. So they lost 43-7 to Troy. 17-8 they lost to Canton, and what was it, 26-13 against Athens. Yeah. So they've played two teams that played each other close. They played those two teams close, and then they got walloped a little bit by Troy, kind of like everyone except Dover has.
Everybody.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think they're probably in the similar class to how these NTL teams are faring this year for the most part. So I think it should probably be a pretty good game. The question for Wyalusing is, if South's able to stop the run, what do you turn to on offense? So I think Wyalusing's going to be looking for a big bounce back, playing at home and on a Thursday night. So I think the Rams will be ready to go, and maybe the trip for South makes it lean Wyalusing's way a little bit. But I think that should be a good game too.
Yeah, and if you're looking to get out this week for some high school football, this is an interesting week. There's some interesting games. There's some really good games, some competitive games, and some chances for potential upsets. So good week to get out there and support the players in your community and enjoy some really fantastic high school football as we're now halfway through the season. Before we get into the national wide world of sports, let's talk anything other locally. I know, David, you had some soccer things to touch on.
Yeah, the girls' soccer teams in the Valley are off to a pretty good start. A combined 14-1 between the three Athens, Tioga, and Waverly teams.
That's awesome.
Athens is 6-0. This is as of Wednesday, and some of these games will have been played. More games will have been played by the time this podcast comes out. But Athens has started 6-0. They just had two overtime wins in the past week. They were at Bath Haverling in New York on Saturday, who just won the Class B state championship in New York. Athens won that in overtime on the road on Saturday, so that's a pretty cool win.
Okay.
And then they went on, I think Logan might have been there. No, you weren't there. Okay.
David Allegher.
Athens went to Wyalusing, who's also at the top of the NTL table, and Athens went and won that in overtime 1-0. So they're having some of these dramatic, but they even started the season with some dramatic wins as well, like late last minute goals to win games. But they're 6-0, and it's a good start for them. Waverly, I was just there on Tuesday night. They beat Seton Catholic 3-0. They're 5-1 to start the year after a 6-9-1 season. So they've started out pretty well.
Nice turnaround.
And this is the kind of week, not necessarily a Seton Catholic game that they just won, but I was talking to head coach Sarah Hogan after the game that this is the kind of week where they could kind of figure out who they really are, because Thursday night, they will have gone to a good Owego program, see how they would have done there. On Saturday afternoon, I plan on being there. Waverly hosts Shenango Forks at 1 o'clock at Memorial Stadium. And Forks, as far as I've been told, is undefeated, and they're also a very good program. And I know last year Hogan was talking about that, like, they played Waverly played Forks close, which was a badge of honor on its own. So if Waverly can go and maybe possibly beat Forks, that's going to be a big step for them as well.
Statement game.
And then Tioga, they're 3-0, still kind of early on. But they just last year won their first ever section playoff game, and they're two leading goal scorers. I mentioned them last week on the podcast too, because Sophia Haney had 7 goals in that game. Grace Howie, who's either an eighth grader or a freshman, really young, also had 2 goals in the game. She's also a goal scorer. Those two are still doing a lot of things for Tioga, so Tioga expects to have a good season still. So everything is going pretty well for the girls' soccer.
Right direction for girls' soccer in the Valley for sure. Logan, anything other than football on your to report?
Nothing too major. And David brought it up, how Athens is getting off to such a good NTL start. It's been a really exciting season of NTL girls soccer. A couple of overtime games are just in the back of my mind, and we're only in the third week of September. So I think it's going to be kind of a three-team race.
I do want to say it's a game to look out for, because when our next podcast after this comes out, it'll be next Friday. So this coming Thursday, after this podcast comes out, is Troy Athens. That's going to be a pretty big girls soccer game.
That is the 26th.
Yes.
Okay. Keep the date.
Yep. So then that's exactly where I was going to go. I think it's going to be a three-team race. I think it's going to be Troy. I think it's going to be Athens. And I think it's going to be Wyalusing for the top of the league. And I think Troy's won 4 straight. So I think they're still probably the odds on favorite. Feels like, we're not talking about football.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it feels like. But the odds on favorite. But and we'll see how I forget who you were talking about just a second ago, but see what you're made of week. Athens, Troy will be probably one of those statement games. If Athens is like, okay, we want to be for real, then you go and you win it. Troy's like, hey, we're not going anywhere. Then you go and you win it. Other than that, the only other thing I'll touch on is yesterday I was down in Canton for NEB Canton volleyball, and they held, I hope I'm not butchering this name, Veda Bryan, died in August. She was a member of the Canton volleyball team, and they did Vibe Like V Night. So everybody was supposed to wear green. They had T-shirts. They had balloons, streamers. So just, I mean, a tough situation to talk about, but it's cool to see a community come together.
Very cool. Absolutely. Well, before we go nationally, Logan, hit me with our sponsor again, and then we'll get the show on the road and talk some Philly Minute, some NFL, and then we'll wrap it up and get people out of here.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think convenience, think the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to our bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and that pick-me-up cup of coffee, we have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly, open 7 days a week. If you want donuts, you got to get there early.
76 seconds on the clock. Please, Logan.
Real quick, before we do that, because I just saw a notification... Woj?
Yeah.
He's retiring. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get to it. Yeah. All righty. Are you ready? Start
David,
your engines.
Begin.
Okay. October's coming soon. Baseball, playoffs. And it's nice that the Phillies seem to have really righted the ship recently. There was like about a month or two where it was kind of scary after the really hot start to the season. And they couldn't win a single series for about a month and a half. They've been winning a lot of big series over the last month, and I feel like they're back to a good state to get into October. As we record, their magic number to win the NL East is 4. So by the time this podcast comes out, they might have won the division already. And if not, it's coming this weekend, maybe. So I'm excited, just excited about the Phillies. And it's starting to get real that October is coming and that the playoffs are back. And I'm just also happy that the Phillies have turned themselves into a getting into the playoffs every year kind of thing.
What first round matchup scares you the most?
Anything that
involves the Mets.
Even if it was the Braves, I'm not afraid of the Braves this year. But just like a division matchup is always going to be scary in the playoffs.
Sure,
but
right?
I would say, and I think the Mets are more likely to make the playoffs than the Braves at this point. And
it's looking like it.
The Mets have that. Would be worried that the Mets have that kind of magic feel in a way. But the Phillies also just had a huge series win against them this past weekend. So,
time.
Cool.
Well, question. Done. Magic numbers, talk to me. Okay. I've heard of the term, right? I'm a baseball layman, but if it's 4, how could they have clinched by the time this comes out?
So the magic number is any combination of the first place team wins, like the Phillies wins, and second place team losses.
Okay, that's what I figured.
So it could So it might be 4 days from this recording that the Phillies win the division because they've won 4 straight games and the Mets have also won every one of those games.
So that's basically what it is. So if the Phillies win their next 2 and the Mets drop their next 2, they would be at the magic
exactly
number.
Exactly. Yeah. Gotcha. And I remember when the Phillies had their previous golden era run, 2007 to 2011, the first time I got to experience them in the playoffs, the magic number was such a fun thing to learn about. And it was always like, yeah, we got a magic number. It's dwindling down. And so it's just exciting to have that feeling back again.
The good news is all 3 of us, cross our fingers, should be in the playoffs come October. So we'll definitely get into more of that on this podcast going forward.
Looks like the Yankees are going to be the division champs.
What's their magic number?
I don't know the magic number. I know the one number I know is we're 4 up on the Orioles.
Yeah.
7-3 in their last 10. The Yankees are... Orioles are 3-7 in their last 10.
And I think the Orioles, and you, I think you got it that right there, are 4 up on the next wild card. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, I just got to find it. I'm looking at regular season.
I know the Royals are in there. The Tigers are in there.
Plus 4 games.
Yeah.
On just the back wild card, because they're up 1. They're up 2.5 games on the Royals.
Sure. Right, so all 3 of us should be getting into the playoffs, which will make October on this podcast. We'll add a little something to it. It'll be more exciting. We'll get to talk baseball along with football. But with that said, NFL Week 2 is in the books. Instead of just recapping all of Week 2, I thought we'd do a little segment called Real or Fake. I'm going to rattle off some situations. You guys tell me whether you think it's real or fake, whether that be right now, whether that's going forward. We'll start with Logan's Ravens. Real or fake, the Ravens are in trouble. They're 0-2. Their next three games are Dallas, Buffalo, and Cincinnati. Not exactly three teams you want to be looking down the alley at when you're 0-2 already. Real or fake, the Ravens are in trouble.
I'm going to say fake, but it's definitely concerning.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you're supposed to beat teams like the Raiders. You're supposed to beat guys that are trotting out Gardner Minshew. All Gardner Minshew's done is go 2-0 in M&T Bank Stadium in a calendar year. So a game I went to for my birthday last year, he was the starting quarterback for the Colts.
He is Logan Hill's kryptonite.
Day. Yep. So I don't know. I mean, coming into the year, you could always kind of tell this was a very vaunted opening schedule, and that's why the Raiders was supposed to be like, okay, it's the Ravens' home opener. They'll get that one. Because then you got to go to Dallas. Then you get Buffalo, who's playing really well on Sunday night, and then Cincinnati. So the reason I say fake is because Cincinnati's in the same hole,
sure,
and Pittsburgh's on top of the division right now and is 9-8 as Pittsburgh can get to.
That's another real or fake, the Steelers.
I'm sure we'll get to that, but I'll go with fake.
David?
I'll go with fake, too. I think if they're 1-4 by the end of this rush, then I think there's cause for worry for the Ravens, but I think they'll win two of the next three games in some fashion. I don't know which way, but if they get themselves to 2-3, then I think they're right where they want to be for how they started.
I'm with you, too. I'm going to go fake. Like Logan said, by the time they get to the Bengals are probably going to be in a must-win situation as well. And I think the Ravens are just right now built to be a better football team than them. My Bengals take, David's take too, I think. It doesn't look great. Something looks weird. T. Higgins will be back. Maybe it all changes, but something's a little off there. I might have jumped the gun on that one. We'll see.
The stat circling the wagons this week has been that the Bengals have started 0-2 in like five of the last six.
Start slow.
They're 1-9 in the last first two games of the season.
To me, is very annoying because none of those seasons have any impact on how this season plays out. Yeah. So, they do it every year, and that might be the case. But
there's some Cincinnati.
They're still 0-2.
But if you're a Bengals fan, you're probably pretty annoyed at that. Yeah. Like,
but if you're a Bengals fan, you're probably also saying, we should have beat the Chiefs. We shouldn't be 0-2. We should have beat the Chiefs. So we'll see. That might be a loser leaves town match early on in this season by the time those two get there. Next one, real or fake, the Saints are a contender. David, why don't you start this time?
I don't want to say anything before the Eagles play the Saints.
That's why I started with you. Don't jinx yourself.
That's funny.
I'll start. I'm saying fake.
I want to say fake. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying fake.
I like us all not to be in agreement on this show, but I say fake as well. And the reason I say fake is I think they're a good story. I think they're a fun team, but when you get down to it, and it's the final weeks of the year, the postseason, it's going to come down to quarterback play. And I don't think Derek Carr is at the top of that list anymore.
The Panthers they beat in week one are all time bad.
Yeah.
I mean, all time historically bad. They just benched Bryce Young this week. And I think the Cowboys game just got away.
I think the Cowboys were a little shell-shocked of like, oh, wait, the Saints can actually still play. Like,
yeah. Didn't Alvin Kamara have like four touchdowns?
Four touchdowns. Yeah. That's just not...
If the Saints are real, it's because of Kamara being ridiculous.
Sure. We're going to find out a little bit that they're real this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Real or fake, the NFC East is bad and the NFC South is good. Right now, the NFC South, Baker Mayfield has the Bucks undefeated. Derek Carr is the Saints undefeated. The Panthers, of course, I just said are historically bad. And the Falcons just beat the Eagles on Monday Night Football. On the other side, the NFC East, Dallas got smacked by the Saints. The Eagles lost to the Falcons. And we know the Commanders and Giants, neither of which are any good. Real or fake, the NFC East is bad and the NFC South is good, Logan.
I'll say real.
Okay. I'll say real. Just laid it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, you raised some good points. I don't think if we were power ranking the divisions, I don't think the NFC South gets anywhere near the top one or two divisions, but they're probably closer than the NFC East is right now. And I don't know that the NFC East is truly the worst division all around, but if week two is any indicator, it's nothing to write home about.
Yeah. David, your division, is it bad?
I'll go with fake.
Okay.
Because it's been a very interesting start to the year, that's for sure. I don't know where to go with it. The Eagles, if not for one Saquon Barkley drop, or if you want to call it a bad play call, I don't know, but we can.
You ready to get rid of him?
No. Wait. All right. So talking about who?
Let's talk about it. Let's dive into that Eagles game.
Okay.
Who do you think I'm talking about?
I wasn't sure. Are you talking about Barkley?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm not ready to get rid of him.
I think it's time for him to go, right?
No. No. Well, I thought you were talking about Sirianni for a minute. That's why I was.
You and I talked about this off air, but let's do it for the listeners and while Logan's here. Okay with that play call at the end of the Eagles-Falcons game? Okay with the Barkley, obviously not okay with the Barkley drop, but how about the play call itself? Do you just run the football, or did you like? Oh, let's throw him off here and throw the ball.
This is an extreme hindsight is 2020 moment because he dropped the ball, so I would rather him run the ball because he probably wasn't going to fumble it. But in the moment, I was totally fine with the play call because it was executed perfectly. Like it was. Perfect until it just didn't land in.
If it works, no one complains, right?
Yeah,
like, and it hits him right in the hands.
That's a brilliant play.
It was a great play call. Yeah. He was open.
And it hit him right in the hands.
It worked, and then it just didn't.
More concerning was what happened.
Yeah.
Afterwards, which is in 65 seconds?
70 yards, 65 seconds, no timeouts, 6 plays.
Like it was carving through butter.
What happened after the drop is what has me concerned about what the Eagles season could turn into. Because I have high expectations for the season, but I feel like if the Eagles are going to struggle this year, it's because they don't have a pass rush, which also makes the secondary worse. And whatever the heck that was at the end of the game was just inexcusable. So that's where I leave the game actually upset and worried. But like the offense. Hurts actually looked pretty dynamic again for the first time since 2022. He ran the ball really well. Saquon Barkley makes that catch. They win. They literally had like a 99.99% chance of winning that game. So. Yeah,
I didn't even watch the end. I was at work and I saw that the Eagles had the ball like at like the 25 and they were up by 3. I was like, oh, so this one's probably over. They're gonna punch it in.
I've experienced heartbreaking Eagles games throughout my life. There's never been one where I felt like slapped in the face. Like we had that. That was won. That game was won.
It was over. Yeah.
Kirko chains Monday night.
Didn't look like anything for 3.5 quarters.
Mm. Yeah.
Last one. Then if you guys got any off the top of your heads, feel free to throw them out.
On the NFC East being.
Yeah.
That whole thing. I would say that's why I'm saying that the whole premise is fake, that the NFC East is worse and the NFC South is better, is because I wasn't impressed by the Falcons by any stretch of the imagination. They struggled. They really struggled to score a lot of points off of Eagles defense. That wasn't all that good. Yeah. And
we're going to find out more about the Falcons. They're I think the Sunday night game this weekend against the Chiefs.
And I mean, we might know a lot about the Saints after this Eagles game. So
absolutely. Yeah. Another good one. Is this QB draft class a bust already? Real or fake? Caleb Williams has looked terrible. Jaden Daniels, not much to write home about yet. Bo Nix. Not great. Michael Penix on the bench. J.J. McCarthy, already a season-ending injury. Is this QB draft class going to be a bust, real or fake?
Fake.
Okay.
I think
it has real potential. Real, there it is. This could be very real. Not all of them have to flounder, but it's starting to trend towards the majority might.
Yeah. I think there was too much hype around the Bears that's hurting Caleb Williams at the moment. But we're 2 weeks in. I'm not going to judge Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams 2 weeks
Logan,
in.
Logan, give me your real or fake, and then I'll ask you that question.
That's where I was going to say, I don't know if I can use this option, but I'm going to go down the middle and just say too early to tell.
Yeah.
But to David's point, the Bears had no business playing Sunday Night Football in week 2.
No. Yeah.
They should not have been on a national spotlight yet.
No. Their defense looks good. I will say that they were it ended up being a 6-point difference against a team that might contend for a Super Bowl. So the defense can hold its own, but a lot of pieces on that offense that haven't quite clicked together yet. And the question I was going to ask, if you redrafted today, would you take Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels number one based on what you've seen through 2 weeks?
Based off of what we've seen from 2 weeks. Well,
it's a small sample size. Jaden Daniels at least had some moments already in 2 weeks. That offensive line, Caleb Williams, is going to have to play behind for the foreseeable future. It looks horrible.
I don't think we can throw anything onto Caleb Williams as if it's his fault yet.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, the offensive line was terrible. But, again, he's super young. He's 2 weeks into the season. I'm not going to blame him for any struggles he has right now.
Yeah, and my only thing about that was if you did take Daniels, if you were the Bears, his legs with that offensive line could maybe have helped a little more so far, but maybe they get it figured out. I just look at that first round of guys, and Bo Nix isn't it, from what I've seen.
It's very early for Bo Nix, too, but also he does not look good.
McCarthy didn't even play a game, and he's out for an entire year already. So, not great. Too early to tell, I think, is the fair answer and the correct answer, like Logan said. But just something to keep an eye on and why we do these segments. That draft class had a lot of quarterbacks. Some of them are getting some time. It'll be interesting to see what comes of it. Anybody got off the top of their head? Real or fake? So are we ready to do Survivor?
I have one real or fake.
What do you got?
Buffalo Bills, real or fake, 2 weeks in.
Real in the sense that they are more than capable of winning the AFC East this year based on 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To be determined whether they're really still a Super Bowl contender. I'm not sure the AFC East is quite as competitive as it has been in the past few years or that we all expected it to be. So real that they could very well win the division and host a playoff game. To be determined yet whether they're that real of, or is this another Super Bowl Bills potential? Anyone, you fake on them, David? How are you feeling about what you've seen from Buffalo?
I'm leaning toward real. Yeah. And it's because the division, the Jets might be, well, I don't know. The division is off to a wacky start.
Dolphins are in trouble.
Yeah.
The Patriots, that's going to fizzle. They're not quite ready yet.
Almost 2-0.
Yeah, but they're not ready to be back. That team, they're running that Stevenson like 25 times a game in this era's NFL. That'll fizzle. And yeah, the Jets, Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown for over 180 yards yet in two games. So
passing is way down.
Way down.
Yeah. One other real or fake one, sure. Kind of out of, has nothing to do with any of us at the table, but Minnesota Vikings, Sam Darnold, 2-0, just beat the 49ers.
97-yard dot to Justin Jefferson.
I'm leaning toward real.
Fake. I come back to my same argument that I used for Derek Carr. Is fun story, when it gets down to the nuts and bolts of things, he's not in your upper echelon, and that's who decides games in this era's NFL.
I think the Vikings will be fighting for a playoff spot in week 17 and 18.
I'm saying real because of that.
Yeah.
The Bears aren't going to be as good as I'd hoped. The Packers are going to be without Jordan Love for who knows how long, which means you got to contend with the Lions, and you might not even have to contend with them to just back in as like the seventh seed in this new wild card era of the NFL. The Vikings look, if you can beat the 49ers at any point in the season, there's a little bit of real to that.
It'd be the 49ers 2 years in a row.
Survivor. Yeah. Logan is on to his mulligan already, and we're not even into through 3 weeks of the season.
What was your pick again?
He had the Jags.
Okay.
And I was ticker watching that game the entire time on the bottom of the screen, and I was like, come on, Jackson, don't do it.
It gives you a little extra to root for each week.
Yeah, and the whole time I was like almost mad at you guys for having picked the same game. I was like I don't even have two other scores to look at to see if they're doing bad.
But that wasn't a comfortable one either. Jets were.
I was just about to say, David and I both had the Jets, and that was a little bit of a sweat.
Yeah.
So
I haven't had an easy one yet.
New week. David and I still have our mulligan. Logan, you are down to your final.
That's fine, because I'm just going to go perfect the rest of the way.
I'm just going to pick all the favorites. Let me kick us off here. I'm going to Monday night. It's a must win for the Bengals, and they got the Commanders. If the Bengals can squeak this out, they're probably not very good, but I won't have to worry about picking them the rest of the year. If they don't squeak it out, then I deserved to be down a mulligan because my going all in on the Bengals was just about as bad of a pick as you could make this season. Give me the Bengals and a must win at home on Monday Night Football against a below average Commanders team. My Survivor pick this week is the Bengals. David.
I really, really want to pick the same game as you again.
Do it. It's all about surviving.
I'm going to go Browns.
You're a piggyback Survivor.
I'm not going with what he did. I'm going with the Browns over Giants.
Okay. Giants are that bad, huh?
Yeah, and I don't want Cleveland to win games ever anymore, but
get a sure thing here and get the Browns out of the way.
Sure thing. Knock on wood.
I like the strategy though. The Giants are right down there with the Panthers and if you're going to ever pick the Browns
That's exactly it. It's a good strategy. I want to knock off the Browns soon, like early.
Make it count, Logan. You're down one.
I know.
Who's it going to be? Your last chance?
No more room for error.
Who is your last stand going
I really want to lean, so to peel back the curtain, Monday is my birthday, so I really want to pick that other Monday night matchup and be like the Buffalo Bills. They're going to do it for me because it's my birthday.
Don't do it to me.
I won't pick them. I will pick the Raiders.
Okay.
Playing the Panthers on Sunday at 4 o'clock in Vegas. I don't know that I feel great about it, but you also got to cross teams off.
Yes.
Andy Dalton's going to be starting for the Panthers this week. That probably gives them some juice, but I think that entire team is just a mess.
And like with David and the Browns, if you're picking a survivor team, if not now, then when with the
exactly.
Raiders?
Exactly. I'll go with the Raiders.
I had half a thought to do the Raiders, but I don't
The Panthers
really trust.
Panthers are so bad.
I understand switching it up at the quarterback position, but line up a path for me where he ever starts for the Carolina Panthers again, Bryce Young.
Yeah, no way.
How do you bench him in week three?
I saw Dan Orlovsky pitch the idea that he should get traded to the Dolphins.
I heard that. I feel like I heard that too. Yeah. Maybe it was the same source, but
shout out to our friend Johnny Williams. I know our guy's down bad. I know our guy's, he's down bad. That was pathetic by the Cowboys. He knows it. We know he knows it because he's in a group text with all of us. Shout out to our guy. Hopefully we can help uplift his spirits a little bit with this pod this week.
Unfortunately, you guys
down.
Can.
Unfortunately, I have no room to talk right now. So
that's
you
true.
You guys can. The 0-2 Baltimore Ravens got to play the 1-1 Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you're down bad as well. You know who's not down? It's Buffalo Bills.
Let's see. Do I still got that sound on here?
There it is.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, thank you to the Jolly Farmer for sponsoring. And please get out and support your community and support the local athletes. A lot going on and a lot to be thankful for in the Valley and in the Daily Review for the sports we get to see each and every week. And thank you again. We'll see you next week.